to another edition of the Marlena Program, heard on ACB Radio Mainstream. Well, good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you. Good night, good evening, good morning. Who knows? Wherever you are in the world, I hope the time is very good. I'm Marlena, and you are listening to the Marlena Program at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. Let me get a little housekeeping out of the way, and we've got the lines open tonight. We're in open forum, and so you're welcome to call in at any time about anything. If you're listening to this program at any time between the hours of 5 to 7 Pacific and 8 to 10 Eastern in North America, or a very early Monday UTC 1 to 3 morning, 1 to 3 UTC, you are listening to the program live, and I welcome your calls, your thoughts, your input, whatever you want to share. And of course, the number to do that is 866-666-7926. If you're listening at any other time, then you've got a repeat, and we welcome you to just enjoy the program, put your feet up, and sit back with your favorite beverage and enjoy. Now, you can sit back with your favorite beverage while we're live as well, but I just don't want that favorite beverage to interfere with those dialing digits, if you will. 866-666-7926 is the number. Would love to hear from some first-time callers and some repeat callers. We have a call already. Holy moly. Let's see who it could be. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Marlena. Joe from Boston. How you doing?
Hello, Joe from Boston. I'm fine. How are you?
Thank you for answering my letter. That lively discussion that was going on today.
Oh, and you know, we may chat a little bit about that lively discussion.
They don't understand. I'm on your side, though. I think some people don't know what it's like.
Well, let me just step back a second here. On the Friends of ACB Radio list, there's been a lot of discussion about whether shows should repeat and what should broadcasters do if they know they're not able to do a show, and should the show be repeated or should the broadcaster find someone to step in and do the show. And we can certainly discuss that tonight. And also from ACB Radio Management side has been the question of what can we do to provide better programming and therefore stimulate more involvement from listeners and bring new listeners in.
So we need to get you on regular radio, and the talk station still won't do that. You know, we need to get this blind bit out. That's why I brought up that topic of what happened to me at the restaurant, as you know. But I wanted to thank you. I'm being very supportive of you, as you know.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. I really appreciate that. And I understand that you are looking for ACB Radio to do some programming about services to blind people who, as you say, have fallen between the cracks.
Absolutely, my young friend. We sure have.
Oh, my young friend. You are my good friend. Holy moly.
I'm just teasing you. You know that.
Well, and so explain what you mean by fallen between the cracks. What does that mean?
Like me that developed a little bit of psychological memory and attention span and just not getting the services that the blind should get. And on the whole, I think what we need to do is have the blind people empower themselves. Like I said on the letter I wrote to you, some of us went to a restaurant and were refused because we were blind. We went to the manager. Only two of us spoke up. Nobody would do anything about it. But so the blind could have more airing in the community, and people would, like, my father is dying of cancer, and I went everywhere to get help to see him. As you know, I made peace, and that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But so we'll be recognized more, and we just, you know, talk shows don't even talk about us. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to, you know, and really expose what problems are of the blind. What can we do to correct these problems? People that don't have families that have been abandoned, all kinds of nonsense.
And, you know, I have always had a concern for blind people who have secondary disabilities, some perhaps mental health disabilities, psychological disabilities, perhaps deaf as well as blind,
or
hearing impaired.
Absolutely, it's twice as hard. I know I have a little bit of a cognitive problem myself. And you went through a rough time. As you know, it's difficult for all of us. We need to stick together. And people say, oh, you blind people are complain and you fuss. We have to. That's how the black people got anywhere. That's what the blind need to do. They need to make noise, annoy some people. If we annoy them, they may listen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I certainly hope that you will find a way to get to Florida and see your dad. And
it's awful. When, you know, I never thought I'd make peace with him, but it's just that the stepmother for ACB radio listeners, my father's dying of cancer, and he's remarried, and she's just interested in the green stuff, Marlene.
Yeah.
And that isn't good, you know?
Yeah.
And he wants to see me, and I can help take care of him. He's, most of the time, he doesn't do anything. He's got lung brain cancer, and he's on his way out.
Yeah.
And I can get no help. I've tried. It's, you know, it's expensive. You know, if she isn't going to let me stay there, this airlines, and I've even checked the bereavement fares.
Yeah.
They don't have that anymore. You have to go for 7 days. As you know, you're a traveler. You've got to go for at least 7 days, or you pay $700. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's not direct. There's one direct flight. It stops in New York. The other flights go round Robin Hood's barn. So.
Where in Florida is your dad?
Sarasota, my friend.
Yeah.
Sarasota.
Huh.
That's what, North Florida, is it, or South?
Gosh, don't ask me. I don't know. Maybe Debbie or Larry will call in and tell us where the heck it is.
But,
We need
to get you on the radio and TV and all programs of the blind. We need to expose all about these problems with the screen readers and the prices. And people just don't have the money, like Brian Charlson said. But before I go, Marlena, I want to recommend tomorrow on Accessible World, if you're around 8 o'clock our time, there's going to be a demonstration by Peter Prasha of the new PlexTalk PTR, Pocket One. It's similar to the, you know, that new...
Yeah.
What's it called? What's the other one called? It's not a screen reader. It reads Daisy books.
Right. It's
Victor Reader Stream is similar.
Right, right. So, it's actually a miniaturized version of the PlexTalk 2. And I think it does even more things than PlexTalk 2 does. And the only problem with my listening, Joe, is then I will want one so bad.
I know. We'll get you one, girl.
No, I'd rather see you get to Florida. So.
Well, thank you. You're very kind. And I just want to say I'm supportive. And those people don't understand. I know you're ill. You had ill problems, and I've got problems. That's another thing I hope we can bring up someday, medical problems for the blind not getting treated right. Can I just mention before we go, there's a DVD out. You may want to watch it. It's called Getting Sick Around the World.
Mm-hmm.
They promote medical care in Japan, France. It's better than Canada, Germany, Switzerland. Everything is regulated. The doctors don't make millions. They make a good salary, but everybody is cared for. It's, prices are cheaper. Malpractice is real low. When you screw up there, you have to account, not around here, but you may want to watch it. It was done by T.R. Reid, and I hope we can get him on someday.
Very interesting.
PBS. I just got the DVD. Getting Sick Around the World. Look it up online. You can get it.
Well, let me tell you also that at our last ACB Board of Directors meeting, we authorized the... I was waiting for you to finish your sentence and the name went out of my head. We authorized a medical issues task force.
Okay.
And Sue Amater, who of course is now a breast cancer survivor.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
And working very, very hard and has in fact gotten produced a Braille pamphlet on the questions to ask when you're diagnosed with breast cancer. So Sue Amater, Chris Gray, who is, of course, our former president, our past president, and his company is, of course, developing more talking medical equipment. They are the pretty much the leaders of that task force. So ACB is becoming very much aware of the fact that, in fact, there are issues about getting information out to blind people in accessible formats.
Marlene, before I go, I just want to say what we need to do is, if you get this DVD, I hope you can have him as a guest, T.R. Redon. He's a former correspondent that used to be in Tokyo, to the, I forgot, Washington Times and New York Times. We need to get the drug companies out of it so they can't make millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And the doc, they even do it in Taiwan. They said, we've taken a look at the American healthcare system. We don't buy it. Of course, the American people talk about the free market system, but it's free only to a point. We need regulation, and this has to be stopped. I mean, over there, I met someone that lived over in Japan. I know people, and they're very happy with the medical care. The insurance companies just pay the bill. It's up to you and your doctor. And there are guidelines if it's out of hand control, we need to really work on this, because I can't get the health care. I've got esophagus and stomach problems, and believe me, illness is terrible. No one goes bankrupt over there. You might want to look into the DVD and do a whole program on it someday.
Well, I will certainly look into the DVD for sure. And let's also hope that, since that health care is one of Mr. Obama's initiatives, let's hope that he can get the economy off the front and center.
Get
at least
rid of these corrupt people. That's a disgrace. Well, thank you for taking my call.
And oh, you're very welcome.
And give you support. And as you know, I know what went on, but they don't understand. They will when they're sick.
Thank you, Joe.
Take care. Great.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 866. Oh, my microphone is just bouncing all around here. 866-666-7926. Want to let you know that at the end of the program, I have an important announcement. At the end of the program, I have an important announcement. Hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
This is Larry.
Hey, Larry!
I've been summoned, I guess. I heard my name.
Yeah, where's Sarasota?
It's kind of south. It's kind of west, southwest Florida. It's on the Gulf Coast, and it's south of Tampa.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, Joe. It's what did you say, south of Tampa?
Yes.
Yeah, south.
About 35 minutes, 40 minutes south of Tampa when you're going by car.
Huh, interesting. Okay, well, see, I knew you'd know. How are you doing, Mr. ACBRI Program Director?
I've done pretty good. Been busy doing a lot of updates with, I helped get ACBRI over to SWCast, which was pretty smooth.
Ah, that's great. So now the folks who play music don't have to do all that horrible in-depth tagging?
Exactly. It's not quite as intense. You don't have to look for the record label, which is the hardest field to find.
Yeah.
So that works very well, and I'm also preparing to stream the Top Dog Workshop on January 17th from Daytona.
Now tell us, what's the Top Dog Workshop?
That is going to be several presentations. One is going to be on accessible pedestrian traffic signals, which is a nice thing. We've got a few installed here in Orlando that actually talk and tell you when it's safe to cross the street, and you can tell which street is safe to cross.
Oh, I love those.
Oh, yeah.
I think those make much more sense than the beepy boppy, you know, tweet tweet coo coo ones.
Yeah. And they actually work.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so much more confident when I hear the voice say, walk light for Main Street, than I do when I stand there and I think, okay, now wait a minute. Tweet tweet goes east and west. Coo coo goes north and south. Is Main Street north and south? Is that the one I've got? Is it, you know, it's like, yeah. I love the ones that talk.
And also, we're going to have several guide dog schools there giving their reports on what they will be rolling out for 2009.
Oh, do you know which schools will be attending?
Guide Dogs for the Blind will be there.
Yay!
Seeing Eye.
Yay!
Bedelco.
Yay!
Southeastern Guide Dogs.
Yay!
And there was another one. I'll have to look up my notes again, but there's several there. And
well, let me say yay for that one, too. I almost showed my bias there, so I thought, oh, I got to say yay for them all. Anyone who knows me knows I have a guide dog from Guide Dogs for the Blind. So once I released that yay, I thought, oh, no, now you've done it for one. You've got to do it for them all. But I think, really, I think the major guide dog schools are you know, they're all good. There's been a have you heard, speaking of guide dog schools, have you heard about this brouhaha going on with a small guide dog school called iDogs, which is located in Phoenix and run by a nonprofit in California? Have you heard about that?
I've heard a little bit about it. I don't know much about it. I've done some searching, but haven't really been able to find anything.
Well, I read a news article, and I'm sorry to keep clearing my throat, listeners and Larry, but I think I'm coming down with something, and it's just driving me nuts here. I read a news article about it, and 33 puppy raisers have refused to give the dogs back to the iDog school because they allege that dogs have been mistreated, that dogs have been left alone, that iDogs hasn't given a dog to a blind person in over 2 years, that the dogs are going to become just kennel dogs, etc. So, of course, iDogs responds that, yes, in fact, you know, we did have some trouble at one time. And though it's been a while since we've had a graduate, it hasn't been 2 years. So
that's quite interesting, because I've gone on to the GBUI website, and they have the surveys there from, you know, on how different schools, you know, the disadvantages and advantages of what the schools do, and that school isn't listed there yet.
Yeah, well, you know, someone asked me at lunch the other day, have you heard of that school? And I said, yes, I've heard of that school, but in all of the years that I've been a guide dog handler, and in all of the years that I've been a semi-public figure within the blind community, I have never met a graduate from the iDog school. I think they call it the iDog Foundation, or I don't know, iDogs. I've never met an iDog graduate, so...
Oh, the other two schools that will be there, I just remembered, Guide Dog Foundation and Leader Dogs will be there.
Yay! Yay! No, there you go.
Yeah. So, and this will be streamed on ACB Radio World.
And do you know the times?
We're going to have two sessions in the morning, which will be from 9:30 to 11:30 Eastern Time. And... I just drew a blank on translating it to UTC. it'll actually be, okay, I've got it now. It'll be 14 to 16:30 UTC.
Okay.
That'll be the two morning sessions with one about landmarks and the accessible traffic signals, and... then in the afternoon, we're going to have the guide dog school reports, where you'll hear all the guide dog schools.
Ah.
And that'll start at 3:30 Eastern Time, which will be 20:30 UTC.
And 12:30 Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick up for my time zone, doggone it. Dog on it. Get my dog on it.
And that'll go to 6:30, and then we'll have a banquet that'll start at 7 p.m.
Now, how many participants do you expect?
Quite a few. There's going to be several guide dog affiliates from the Southeast region that'll be at this workshop. This is the first year that Guide Dog Users of Florida will be hosting it, since we're new to the...
How many members does Guide Dogs of Florida have right now?
I think we're up to 25 members.
Ah, great. That's a wonderful start. When I got Guide Dog Users of Washington State started out here, which now has over 50 members, I think, we only had maybe 10 or 12 members. So that's a wonderful start.
Oh, yeah. And the two people that really got it going were Debbie Grubb and Kathleen Trutchell. And they've done an excellent job at it.
Well, I don't know Kathleen, but I know everything Debbie does, she does an excellent job at.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, all right, sir. That's what I know. Do you know anything else?
At this point, Debbie Hazelton wants to give me a massage here, and she, a minute ago, she was dealing with her cat that was wanting to attack her.
Oh, dang. I wish Debbie Hazelton would come give me a massage.
Oh.
Well, don't keep my show on while you get your massage in case we get controversial, you see.
We got it going. We'll be listening all the way till the end.
All right. Well, I appreciate that because I have an important announcement at the end.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Will you enjoy your massage, sir?
I will, and I'll tell Debbie you want one.
Yeah, you tell her. Tell her to come over here next.
Okay.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. I'm Marlena. You're listening to an open forum edition of the Marlena program right here at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. That's www.acbradio.org/mainstream. Of course, if you're listening, you already know that. Well, to touch on the topic of the day, it seems on the ACB Radio Friends list, there has been a great deal of discussion on that list about listener figures, listener participation, and what broadcasters need to do if they're not going to be able to do a show, etc. Concern expressed about too many shows being repeated, and whether or not ACB Radio should play a block of shows through for 24 hours. And what I mean by that is if there are 4 hours worth of new content each day, let's say, then once that 4 hours of new content has been played, then those 4 hours are repeated throughout the day to allow there to be programming rather than dead air. And there are folks who have feelings in favor of that and folks who have feelings not in favor of that. But we have a call.
This is Kelly from Kansas.
Kelly from Kansas, how are you?
I am good. Glad to see you're back.
Oh,
good to see that you came back.
Long time no speak. How was your holiday?
Interesting this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was spent with my boss and her family, as it usually has been since I moved up here.
Right.
It was a little different than even usual for that, because her grandchildren didn't stay the night with her like they usually do the night before, and so it just felt different in the house.
Ah.
And she was over staying with her dad to keep an eye on him for the night, and it just felt different.
Yeah. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I just thought I would call in and say hey, and that isn't it amazing how we end up with the way coolest people sometimes when there's been like nobody around in that area, and then all of a sudden a new neighbor pops in, for instance, in this case.
Ah, so you have a new neighbor that's very cool?
I have a new neighbor that is way awesome.
Yeah?
And I bet you can't guess what her name is.
I probably can't.
We happen to have the same first and middle name.
Oh, my gosh. That's really interesting.
It's fluky, especially when we, like, when I go to see her or something, and it's like, hey, Kelly. Well, hey, Kelly. You know.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. And when did she move in?
She moved in like, October.
That's really neat. Do you do things together?
Oh, actually, and that's been kind of the fun thing. I ended up, through our just chit-chatting, she saw, going through my apartment as we were doing that a few days ago, she saw the labeling of some cleaning supplies that my boss and I hadn't gotten done yet, just with our schedules with things that are going on. It didn't happen. And so she offered to come up and help me get it done.
Oh, that's neat.
So we brought the containers that needed labeled up to the front and made the Braille labels for them. And now she wants to learn a little Braille, and so that's going to be fun.
Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool.
And now, so I basically stole her for, like, most of yesterday, and she kind of volunteered herself for part of this afternoon, too.
What are the ways now that you think, as a blind person, what are the ways that you think you can give back to her now that she's given so much to you?
I know. That's the fun thing. You know, that's the thing that I kind of feel like, oh, gee, I hope I'm giving back enough sometimes. And she, along with another set of folks that used to be neighbors but have moved up to the other end of town now, a few years ago they did. She's like, oh, you don't owe me anything. And I'm like, but I want to give you a little something back.
Well, it doesn't
kind of feel like.
But, you know, I'm not speaking of, like, going out and buying or, you know, I'm think she's giving you a gift of self.
Mm-hmm.
And so what kind of gift of yourself can you give back to her? For example, can you invite her over for dinner? Can you just call her up out of the clear blue sky and say, come on over for a cup of tea. I made some tea, or if you don't drink, whatever you drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just things. She's given you something that's priceless, and that is the use of her eyes. She's
yes.
helped you label this stuff. So when
she
I...
helped me label it. We got it reorganized.
Yeah.
She even supervised, as my boss likes to call it, me making a cake this evening, because I'm not all that great at getting it frosted yet.
Oh, gosh. I don't know too many blind people who are.
But, okay, good. I don't feel so bad.
But when I talk about giving back, that's the kind of gifting I'm talking about. And I'm wondering if you've thought of those, you know, kind of what? Now, what could I do for her?
Well, we've hung out and just chit-chatted in the evenings before at both of our places.
Uh-huh.
And so that's been kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of thought yesterday, I thought, okay, you know, I ought to do something because I stole the kid's mom, you know, stole the mom away from the kids yesterday for a while. I mean, I didn't steal literally, but, you know,
right.
figuratively.
Right.
So I ordered Chinese for all of us for lunch yesterday.
Oh, that was nice.
And we had a little Chinese party up here for lunch.
That was
one
nice.
Of the kids didn't want to come, and it's like, okay, you know it's here if you want to come.
How old are the kids?
We have she has an 11-year-old, 11, 12, and 14, if I remember correctly.
Ah, so they're pretty, yeah, yeah.
Just for the fun of it, I took each of them out to dinner just because I wanted to, just to get out and do a little something with them.
Well, that's nice. Well,
and
good
they
you.
They like, you know, helping me go across the parking lot to get my mail and stuff like
yeah,
that. They like to go across
yeah,
with me for that. And
yeah.
I take them out just for fun. And they've enjoyed that. And then, you know, she likes coming up here to visit just because it's quiet.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
and
I
giving
like
her...
I like that idea. I think I will just make us up a pot of tea.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
in February or something, because she's going to... And I really need to repay her for this. She's going to keep an eye on my cat while I go babysit my boss's dogs at the end of January while she's gone down to Wichita.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Well, you know, just keep thinking of those little ideas that, you know, when I'm
kind of stuck on that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, but think of the things that you can do that you like to do. you know, maybe, you know, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe you you make a great tuna casserole or chili or, you know.
Yeah, I don't trust myself as a cook much, really.
So, but think of something that you can do and just do it every once in a while. Just spring it on her, you know. and if it's ordering Chinese lunch, you know, every once in a while, you don't want to break the bank, but
exactly,
every
yeah.
once in a while, just for no good reason, just say, you know what, I'm ordering Chinese lunch on Saturday, and mm-hmm. I expect you to be here and bring the kids, you know, and just, and don't
yeah,
even.
Saturday is the easiest day to do that.
Yeah.
Her husband doesn't do a lot with her kids and I. He cut the car. So
well, there you go.
Easy day to order, delivery.
There you go. There you go. And see, don't even associate it with anything. Just spring it on her I think one of the greatest risks that we as blind people face is it is so easy to burn out sighted people.
I feel like I'm taking advantage of her. I'm like, oh, you know, I ought to do something for you.
Well,
I keep having that feeling, and she's like, you don't owe me anything.
Well, I think as long as you, you know, continue to spring up with little things, the quiet times, the pots of tea, you know, whatever, whatever you can do that's within your means. But mm-hmm. If you know, there are so many folks, not just blind people, but, you know, even sighted people are takers and certainly not givers. But mm-hmm. it's so easy because sight is such a convenience.
Isn't it for them?
You know, I mean, gosh, sight. I mean, it's so convenient to have sight. You know, it's
not,
it's not necessary, but it's convenient as all
Very.
Bloody get out. So, well, anything else on your mind, Miss Kelly?
Well, I just thought I'd just comment and just a little something that. Something I was kind of pondering off and on this afternoon as we were doing stuff, and I'm going, sort of say repair, but I'm stuck on how.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I guess I kind of needed another way to ponder this, I guess.
Well, good. I hope I helped out a little.
Well, it's a couple good ideas. And,
good.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe something else will be thrown out.
Good.
But welcome back. It's good to see you back.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and I will speak to you soon.
Okay. Glad you had a good holiday, I assume.
I did indeed. Thank
good.
You so much. I did. Good. I did.
Yes, Christmas did go well. It just seemed a little bit odd.
Yeah.
It didn't go very well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. All right. Well, you take care.
You too.
All right. Thanks, Kelly.
You bet. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. What do you do to give back to sighted folks, you know, when someone helps you? How do you pay them back, if you will? Not necessarily monetarily, but in action, in things that you may be able to give of self. I'm Marlena. We have a call. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena.
Hello, Dr. Bishop.
How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Just before the show, I wasn't very well, but I'm doing weller now.
I'm sorry.
I'm doing weller now.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on? I know you're leaving in less than a week.
Yeah, in less than a week, yeah.
Guide dogs for the blind?
Yeah, I am.
Will this be your fourth?
Fourth, yeah.
Your fourth guide dog, but your first from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to be in the Oregon campus.
That's right.
Yay!
And as I've told many people, that if you don't show up for graduation, they'll be...
I'll be there.
Double hockey stick to hey.
We'll be there. It's on our calendar.
All right.
February 7th.
You can't go on any cruises or any emergency flights to D.C.
No. February 7th.
You can't get sick.
Are you kidding? I'd come down in an ambulance if I had.
Oh, no, you would not. I would. Yes, I would be very upset with
you. And then we're going to take you and your new doggy out to dinner.
Yes, you're taking my dog out for dinner.
Yes.
Enjoy that.
Actually, we're going to leave you behind and just take the dog out to dinner.
Well, you'll probably have a better time.
We want to improve our social quotient,
exactly.
You know.
Yes, right.
See, and then we can find out from the dog, so what's he really,
yeah, what's he really like?
Yeah. What is he really like? And the dog will say,
how loud?
Yeah, and
yeah.
The dog will say, he stepped on my toes the whole darn time.
I know, yeah. He's got sneaky feet and all that. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy. Well, it's been a roller coaster of the holiday season.
Yeah? Tell
yeah.
me.
Well, you know, we, Jacinda was adopted by a wonderful family.
And Jacinda is your retired guide.
My retired guide dog, right? And she went to live with them on December 6th because we wanted to give some time while I was here to make sure that things were going to be okay. And things were going great. We called them, you know, every 3 or 4 days, and things were going really, really well, and Christmas went fine. And then I was listening to your show last week and doing some stuff on the computer and things, and was getting ready to watch the Wildcat basketball game. And I went out to the garage, and I was getting stuff ready to take with me to work in the morning and everything, so it wasn't so rushed in the morning. And the phone rings, and it was Fred and Casey. And I thought, oh, it's Fred. He's reminding me about the Wildcat game because he's a big Wildcat fan.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife had picked up the phone. Carrie picked up the phone first, and it was Casey. And she said, hey, well, I wanted to call and give you news about Jacinda. Oh, I forgot an important piece. The day before, we were going to go out for dinner with them, and I called and no one was home.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me Jacinda died on Saturday night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Massive heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, it happened very, very fast, and the vet here told me it was probably a blood clot. Of some type of, we didn't do an autopsy and everything, but oh my gosh, I mean, I wasn't expecting that at all. And you know, I called you, you were the second person I called.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you were like, what the heck? I mean, everybody that I would mention it to, you know, the delay of tears was long because we were all kind of just like standing there going, what?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I spent a couple of hours just walking around the house going, I don't understand. You know, I was mad. You know, like, I didn't understand it. You know, I just didn't, you know, and then after that, of course, then, you know, you fall apart and don't sleep for hours.
Yeah, many days.
But, yeah, yeah,
well,
exactly.
And you know, I really do, you know, I had a similar experience with Madeline. Madeline was 12 and a half, and she was fine. And when Gary and I went on our fall cruise, she became very, very ill. And by the time we came back, the day we returned, we had to euthanize her because she just picked up her head to lick my head back down, and it was almost like she was saying, I picked this time, Mom, now help me finish, help me finish.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really, this might be one of the woo-woo sides of me, but I really do believe with all my heart that our guide dogs, because we have such a bond with them, that when we hear their message of it's time for me to stop working, that they then, in their own way, they figure out kind of the how of dying when they're ready.
Yeah.
And I do believe, I very firmly believe, that they make it as easy for us as possible. And she did not want to die when you had her. She did not, you know, she wanted, you know, here you're all set. You're going to another, you know, you're going to school. You're going to get another dog. Your life has got forward movement. And then it's okay for her at that time to leave your life.
But it was so weird because, I mean, she's been to the vet many, 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 many times in the last few months. And that was the last thing that you would have thought of.
And Madeline was diagnosed with brain cancer.
Now, go figure.
Go figure. You know, how could brain cancer, when we left her, she was, I always used to call her the little leaper because she was 12 and a half years old and she'd jump and spin and wag and, you know, and so I called her the little leaper. And who would ever figure that I would come home to, you know, a semi-conscious dog when I left one that leaped and spun and wagged and carried on?
Well, before they put her to sleep, I guess they told me that Casey told me she was there for about 6 hours while the vet worked, you know, the emergency vet worked with her. And by the time the vet came out and said, there's nothing more we can do, by the time he walked back, she was already unconscious. So, you know, I mean, there was no hope. I mean, there was no, there was nothing that, and that's, I guess she went blind in her right eye due to a stroke. And she was already having some vision problems and had belly fever. But, I mean, the our vet said, you know, she should live at least 3 to 4 more years. You know?
Sure.
And oh, and Fred was Fred's in the hospital, her husband.
Oh, my
he's
gosh.
He's been in the hospital for over a week.
Oh, my gosh. They are not having good luck, are they?
Yeah, they're not having good luck at all.
So my gosh.
It's just been, it's been a very traumatic thing. And, and you know, I guess, you know, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it, but, I mean, I guess it's gonna, it's just going to be sort of different. You know, if this could happen 6 months ago, you know, it might have been, it might have not have, it's so close. You know,
Well, let me remind you that Guide Dogs for the Blind has a wonderful grief counselor.
Yes, they do.
And I don't know if you've
spoken. My former school seeing eye did too.
And good.
They do. And they're, and they're really good. You know,
and I don't, I don't know if you've spoken with Kim yet, but Kim, if you feel that you can manage this, if you go back to the 2006
program. Oh, my God, I can't believe you can remember that.
well, I think that's when it was. It was right around that day when I did this show on retiring your guide dog.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to have to wait a few months.
Kim was on that show.
Okay.
And so, and she talks a lot about the transition from one guide to another. And
I think once I get a new harness in my hand, that's going to But it's,
You know, my experience, Jeff, has been that, well, I mean, I just had the experience a little over 2 years ago when I, got, Aggie. Now, of course, Madeline was still living, but still, you know, all the traveling that Madeline and I did. And, that retirement was the hardest I've ever had to do. Giving up that dog was, it was very close to a death for me emotionally. And I mean, I was certainly ready to meet my new dog and have a new dog. And getting that harness in my hand, boy, my heart just soared. But in my down times, I would really fight. It was like having two personalities inside of me. One said, oh, this dog is, this new dog is wonderful. The other one said, you're betraying Madeline. You're betraying Madeline. And Kim really helped me work that through a lot. So
that's good.
Make sure you get some good Kim time while you're there.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do that.
And she'll see you privately as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
so I will call into the show next week.
All right.
And if by chance you're not there or whatever, then we will make sure it gets out to other lists.
All right.
What the puppy is. Or people can go to jeffbishop.com and check it out there.
Yay.
So we're going to try to post some audio. And
cool.
Post some pictures if we can figure out how to make them look right.
Well, you know, ask the trainers to have somebody in the room with you to take a picture.
Oh, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about how they look once they get on the website.
Oh, that. Well, I can't help you with that.
The instructors take the pictures, but,
I can't help you with that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know if anybody can, really.
I actually don't even know how to put a picture on a website.
Right. That's kind of where I am. I mean, it's never been something I've had to deal with.
Yeah, I know how to put sounds on there.
The image sizes and all that. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Who knows?
Who knows? I just want to be able to click upload and have it look right.
Yeah, there you go. Blind man's bluff.
Right, just click here and make it work.
Yeah, there you go. If you find that, you let me know.
Isn't that what computers are supposed to do for us?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, right, right. So, hey, before I let you go, speaking of computers, have you heard of a program called Guide?
Guide?
Yes. We had some friends over on Friday night for dinner. And actually, Pam and Jerry, you know
Pam.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Pam, yeah.
Yeah, and that's right, for pizza, yeah. And you didn't call. What a shock. The inside joke here, folks, is it seemed like every time I had our friends Pam and Jerry over for to dinner, Jeff would call. And Jeff and Pam used to know each other when they worked for Microsoft. So, but anyway, they were telling me about a new program called Guide, which sounds a lot like System Access, not System Access, but the
SA to go.
Yeah.
I know there's some work going on. I think it's, I forget where, but I know there's a free product out there. I forget the name of it, though.
Well, I don't think this is free, but it's it's all menu driven, and so you boot up the computer and it comes on. It says, press 1 to get your email, press 2 to do this, and 3 to do that. But I was just wondering if you'd heard of it.
No, I had never heard of that.
Well, I finally heard of something technologically that you haven't.
Well, I've been sort of out of that whole thing for a while.
Oh, never.
Well, kind
You're
of.
You're never.
Well, kind of.
Yeah, never.
I mean, I've had stuff going on. And,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I when during the Christmas break, I kind of didn't even, I played a lot. I didn't even focus on a lot of techie stuff.
Well, good. You should play.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me know.
Okay. Well, you'll be one of the first to hear.
All right.
And we'll let you know what's going on. But
you've got all my numbers.
I do. Yep. You're not going anywhere. So.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Are you traveling at all in the next few weeks?
Yes. Yeah, actually, I'll be in D.C. next week, but you still got my number.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yep.
Okay.
You got my number, baby.
That's right.
All right.
Go to the web, too, and figure it out. I'll call you before it gets there, though.
Yeah. Call me and let me know when you're going to get the dog.
Next Sunday.
Oh, you're for sure?
I believe so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I believe that's true.
All right.
But I could be wrong.
Oh, not
but
you.
I believe that's true, and if I'm wrong, that's okay. Who knows? It may take them a couple of days to figure me out.
Well, you think they can do it in a couple of days?
Well, I don't know. I told them when they called and spoke to me for, it seemed like 2 hours or so on Christmas, not Christmas, New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And I asked them, I said, man, you can do matching in basically 24 hours? And they're like, yep. Like,
yep.
Wow. Yep. I felt like saying, man, you should talk to my wife. She can't even figure me out.
All right. Well, you have a safe trip.
Okay. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. I'm Marlena. You're listening to the Marlena Program. We're in open forum tonight at the mainstream of ACB Radio. We have another call. Let's bring him in. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's Dave and Pam here.
Hello.
Actually, Pam was calling. I said I'd try to get in on the phone because I'm a little bit better. I'm a little bit faster fingered. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Behave myself. You know, you were talking before about the iDog Foundation.
Right.
I read quite an extensive piece on that. Not in ACB's stuff, mind you, but in the other organizations.
In NFPs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very extensive. That's been an interesting organization from the word go. Bear in mind, I have no personal experience with it, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I do have some passing knowledge because, after all, they were in California, and I've been in California since 1967.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, some attorney originally started the organization. I think it was even a woman attorney. And that I dredged up from the NFB stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know quite what's happened to all along for a long, long time. In the 70s, Eric Renner, I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Uh-huh, sure, had, yep.
He was involved with them. Then he went to, he and his son Frank went over to Guide Dogs of, International Guiding Eyes,
right.
Now Guide Dogs of
right.
America.
Right, right.
Pretty much ruined that school and were fired. I mean, that's just the short version.
Right, right.
And then apparently went back to iDog Foundation and were actually training dogs in a hotel in Denver.
Really?
Rather, that's where they were having the classes. I mean, I guess the kennels were always in Arizona, but they would take the dogs to Colorado. And I know that I know because I knew a couple of people who were true, dyed-in-the-wool Eric Renner devotees. They would have gone to him wherever he went.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to school and got their dogs from him. I lost touch with him, but apparently, you know, this whole thing is just, I'm guessing that it has become someone's arm to raise money, you know, and just kind of not do anything with it. That's
mm-hmm.
just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
mm-hmm.
But it's not been one of the great successes of Guide Dogdom in the...
Yeah, I've never met a graduate from iDog. Never.
Well, I have.
Never. I've never seen one. I don't know what their harnesses look like.
At least I know people who have graduated from their school. I have never seen them with their dog.
Are you sure they left with a dog?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that they went to that hotel I told you about in Denver.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
They came back with dogs.
That is interesting.
What I'm given to understand is that at that time, Renner was getting a lot of his students from Europe because people wouldn't send them other people to the school here in the States, but he could get them from Europe, and I think that was when he was with the iDog. Unless he was out doing his own thing by then,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit muddy on all of that, but
hmm.
I do know that there was quite a length of time at various points in time when Renner was involved with iDog.
Well, I never knew that Eric Renner was involved with Guide Dogs. I knew he went to IGE, I'll get these letters straight, which is now GDA.
Right.
And because I got one dog from IGE when Lee Mitchell was...
Oh, those were the good days.
Yeah, I loved Lee Mitchell.
I had a Lee Mitchell dog, too.
I had a Lee Mitchell dog from Guiding Eyes, and when my Dewey dog died, I called Lee, and I said, will you accept me? And he said, absolutely. So my trainer was Morris Hall, and Morris trained
fine,
Lee.
Fine man, I
oh, you know,
that was back when I was getting Cody, I met those guys.
You know, one thing I love to share about Morris Hall. He, you know, every day we would kind of start out and have a little talk, you know, before we went out with the dogs, etc. And one day, Morris, there were some people in my class who really were not confident. You know, they just kind of took what life gave them, and they didn't have any fight. They didn't have, you know, it was just, yeah, okay. And that was Morris's talk, you know, one day. And he said, when you believe as blind people that your share of life's pie should be at least equal to everybody else's, that's when you'll find some fight. And I've often thought about that. You know, I mean, that's not usually something you hear a guide dog trainer say.
I have to admit, I thought you were going to go a different direction with that. I thought you were going to go that. I can absolutely agree with that. I thought you were going to say, he was going to say, well, that's when you want a dog or something. And I find, you know, I definitely fight for my rights, but the white cane right now.
Sure, sure.
And it works for me. I still dearly love dogs, no question about it.
Sure.
But it just right now my life is structured in such a way that it's probably better that I don't have a doggy, even though I want one at some point again.
Probably. And, you know, and it's a very personal decision. You know, it's I can remember being young and stupid.
But I have been in Jeff's position, too, and it's not a fun position to be in.
Yeah.
I got to tell you that this is when Cody, my second dog, who somebody at a convention one time described Cody very aptly. She's, you know, to Cody, the world was his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of dog Cody was. He would just, he had these little spontaneous exercises that he would get involved in. But at any rate, I found a home for him. I couldn't keep. I was going through my divorce at the time. And it was, so somebody said they would take him. I made it clear to them. I said, look, this dog has health problems. I went, you need to know that. Here is the medication. And I don't know this for absolutely sure, but I'm reasonably sure. This is kind of not very nice people, and I believe they self-euthanize the dog.
Oh, my gosh.
And that hurt. That hurt me deeply.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't take him to a vet. They just, you know, took him out back.
I mean, yeah.
Country way of doing
right.
it. And I just, you know, I at that time, I vowed, I was going to keep a dog from here on. I wasn't going to give a dog away again. I'm just not going to do that. And I didn't with Goliath, and hopefully if I have another dog, that's, you know, where it's going to be, too.
Well, I think whether you get another dog or not is a very personal decision, and I think there was a time when I was very young and stupid, and I would argue with people, oh, you shouldn't use a cane, use a dog.
Oh. I mean, there was a time when we had the religion.
That's right.
That's right. We had the
religion. That's right.
And it was. You were, and, you know, we knew beyond the shadow of our
That's right.
most feeling, heart, and soul that the cane user was inferior.
That's right.
We knew that.
That's right.
And then I met Pam. Yeah, right. No. Then I knew it for sure. No.
That's right. That's right.
Never mind. Okay. I don't know. I had something entirely different that I was going to talk to you about. I can't even remember what it was. So rather than me taking up more airtime on this program, I will turn this phone over to Pam. And
all right.
And just say, Jeff, you seriously, man, you got my sympathy on that. I've walked this path. And all I can tell you is, you know, we've tread this way. That song, that Jimmy Ruffin song. I've passed this way before.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, it's survivable, but you just do it.
All right. And
okay,
before.
Hi, I'm Marlena.
Hi, Pam. Can you hang on just one second?
Certainly.
Let me just run Certainly. One little thing, and I'll be right back. We'll be right back to hear what Pam has on her mind this week on the Marlena program, if we can ever get the right thing going here. Been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page. At www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business.
Stream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll free 1-866-666-7926.
And that is the number to call for the next hour, 866-666-7926. Pam, what's on your mind? Thanks for holding.
Oh, Marlena, I was going to chime in on the whole issue of animals, dogs, cats, guides, pets, whomever, and their sensibilities. And I have to tell you, I'll be very quick with this. One quick story. The first time I visited IGE, other than visiting Dave after it was GDA, I was at a barbecue in 87. And they had this big barbecue for the ACB
I remember
attendees.
That. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm sitting there, and Mother Nature began to call. She began to knock and scream. And I'm sitting there going, oh, dear, oh, gosh. So I don't even remember if I got up or what happened. The person came up with this very British accent and asked me if I needed help. And I said, is there a ladies' room? And I don't know if he saw the look on my face. He just goes, come on. I grabbed his arm. We flew to what turned out to be a dorm into one of the bathrooms. It was Lee Mitchell.
Oh. Yeah, Lee Mitchell. Lee Mitchell was fabulous. Let me tell you one Lee Mitchell story. Actually, my favorite Lee Mitchell. I have many Lee Mitchell stories, but my very favorite one, I was in training with Bee, who was a German Shepherd, and she was my second Lee Mitchell dog. And we did the infamous drop-offs where they drop you off and... no, actually, this was with Dewey. This was with Dewey, not with Bee, my first Lee Mitchell dog. And they drop you off in a place that you've been, but they don't tell you where you are. You sort of have to figure it out, and you can ask passersby, whatever you need to do. Well, there was one block of a particular street on a particular route that Guiding Eyes for the Blind always used, and I'd been getting all my dogs from Guiding Eyes at that point, which went back from 1964, and this was in 1985 when this story happened, or 1982 when this story happened. And I got out of the car, and there was one particular block that had a very hollow-sounding sidewalk. And I'd always noted this, you know, from the first time I ever did that route. I wonder why that sidewalk sounds so funny. No one else, I brought it up to other people, no one else heard it, but I thought it sounded funny. And stepped out, and by golly, I was on that sidewalk. So I knew exactly where I was, and I worked Dewey up to the corner, and I stopped a passerby, and I said, if I make a right here, will I be on whatever street? And he said, yes. And so I said, okay, fine, that's what I thought. So I turned right, and all of a sudden, Lee Mitchell comes up behind me, and he taps me on the shoulder, and he says, I can't say the second word of what he said, but smart, ahem. And I said, you're there. And he said, oh, he said, I can't believe you. How did you know? I said, well, the sidewalk is hollow. He said, your head is hollow. And so then I continued on a few more blocks because it was quite a lengthy route. And all of a sudden, I heard Lee Mitchell's voice go very low behind me. Stop staring at her, you cow. She's only blind. He was a wonderful trainer, just a wonderful person.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, I'm thinking of two things. First of all, as far as Jeff and his transition to a new dog going so soon, a friend of mine went to, her dog died very, very suddenly. And again, she wasn't telling anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she just stopped eating. They took her in, Diane took her, and we knew her behavior wasn't quite what we expected. Diane took her to the vet. She was diagnosed with parvo. Well, that's goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she tried to hold on to her for a couple of weeks and just said, I can't do it because she's starting to gurgle in her fluids. I must do this. She was going to keep her as a pet for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. I have to let her go with her dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she went to seeing I. And about two or three nights into the course, they showed the movie, I guess it was a Disney thing, Atta Girl Kelly had been done for Disney,
mm-hmm.
on a guy getting used to his new guide dog. Oh,
so,
did he? Okay.
So
he
what?
What? Lee Mitchell advised on that. Well, Diane got... Oh, he says we had to watch the damn thing. So Diane jumped up from the room. The auditor, she called me. She said, how could they? How could they? She was almost hysterical, sobbing. It had been less than 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And she said, how could they have done that? And I said, hey, I'm that must have been rough. You know,
yeah.
You know, and I tried to... I was a little outraged myself.
Yeah.
I forget what I actually said. But anyway, she said afterwards, said that was actually a good thing because I'd been holding back. Now, Jeff's a guy, okay?
Yeah.
Guys don't necessarily like to cry.
Yeah.
Unless you know, they can find a private place where nobody will ever see them. But I got down, she said, I got down on my bed, and I just cried and cried and sobbed, and I got it out of my system, and then I was able to go forward with Allie.
Yeah.
So she said, in retrospect, it had been a good thing, because she had to get it out of her system, and she had to feel it. And so I guess I'm thinking, Jeff, if you, whatever feelings you feel, you can feel them. Oh, Dave says, go rent a stupid movie. Shut up. Anyway.
Well, you know, I do think that that's true, Pam, and I think that there comes a turning point, at least for me, with each and every dog to which I have transitioned and from which I have transitioned. There comes a turning point where all of a sudden it's okay. You know, it's okay. That new dog is okay. And, I remember bringing Agnes home and kind of hugging Madeline. And this is in the first couple of weeks, you know, after I got home, and hugging Madeline and whispering to her, I still love you best. I still love you best.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember, you know, a time after where, you know, I would hug them both and I would say, I love each of you best. You're such good girls.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but there was no way I could do that when I first got home, even though I loved Aggie. You know,
I heard the show. I heard your recording, and you could tell you were just overcome with emotion. And I suppose, thinking back, it was a combination of excitement and conflict.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Well,
and when they told me her name was Agnes, I'm like, Agnes?
What? You're going, Agnes.
Either the name for your grandmother or a saint, you know?
I know. But, you know, they really control it the best they can.
Yeah.
The dogs and the cats.
Yeah,
adopted a cat, a 13-year-old cat from a friend who had passed away very suddenly. And we knew she was sick. We didn't know how she was sick, how sick she was. But we also knew she was terrified of vets.
Mm.
Well, one night we were going out, and I couldn't find her. But I kept seeing this, yip, yip. And where are you, Sherry? Where are you? Well, it turned out she was in the closet on her side.
Mm.
I did not know what this meant, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I, come on, let's get up. Let's get going on the bed, you know. Well, she staggered up, got under the bed,
mm-hmm.
and a friend of ours came to pick us up. I'm trying to fly this story as quickly as I can. He fished her out from under the bed, and Dave handed her to me, and that's when I realized she was just like skin and bone.
Mm-hmm.
She had been getting smaller, thinner, but I thought, you know, she's 15.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we came home. Dave put her in her carrier, and I said, if you're not better, We're gonna take you to the overnight shelter. We're gonna take you to the overnight vet. Well, she put my little nose up to my face. She gave me a little nosy on my nosy, and her little mouth was open, and she, well, came home. She was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Little
mm-hmm.
mouth was in the same position.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that was rough.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, I thought she was saying, "Let me go. Let me
yep.
go." She
yep.
didn't, and she hated the vet. She was terrified of the vet. She did not want to go through tests and shots and pills, which we would have tried to do.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, I tell you, I only wish we could do for people what we can do for animals at the end of their lives, because, you know what, why should any living thing suffer?
I'm in firm agreement
yeah,
with that, believe
yeah.
me.
Why should any living thing suffer?
Yeah.
Well, all right, Miss Pam, anything else on your mind?
No, I think that's about it. I just want to say that a few days later, Dave and I both heard a meow from under the bed. And we kind of said,
wow.
She's telling us. Yeah, and we both heard it.
Wow.
I heard it the night it happened, and I heard it several days later.
Wow.
And I doubt we would have had this imagination at the same time.
At the same time, yeah.
But
yeah.
It really comforted me.
Oh, that's
even
great.
If it were whatever it might have been, I said, you know, things happen the way they should have
yep,
been.
Yep, that's right.
But no, absolutely, that's it. And I just wanted to pass that on. Jeff, you'll get through this too.
Oh.
And she's not suffering.
Well, thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866. Oh, my microphone just keeps jumping up and down. 866-666-7926 is the number. And I do have an important announcement at the end of the program. So please stay with for the entire show. We've been talking tonight in open forum, and we have spent quite a bit of time talking about the loss of dogs, be they guide dogs or pets, cats, etc. We've talked some about the iDog school, kind of some of the hoopla la that's going on around them. And I invite you to call in with anything that may be of interest to you. If you want to talk about the discussion that's been going on the ACB Radio Friends list, or if you have any ideas as listeners to ACB Radio as to how you would like to see program content, particularly on mainstream, here our talk and information station, be managed. I'd love to hear them. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Jan Brown.
Hi, Jan. How are you?
Oh, I've got the cold you're getting, but I'm okay.
And where are you calling from?
San Jose, California.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think we've ever spoken, have we?
We have not.
Well, now, hold on. Wait a minute.
All right.
What's on your mind tonight? And welcome to the program.
Dogs and friends.
Dogs and friends.
What else have we got, after all?
That's right.
I've had eight of them. Dogs, not friends.
I hope you've had more than eight friends.
I have. I think that's my chief asset. I'm a good friend maker.
Good for you. Good
anyway,
for you.
I thought I was going to have to my husband died in... I'm not calling about that, but died in 07, and it was, you know, how dogs die and they let you know it's
mm-hmm.
time and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way it was with him. I'm not saying we should go replace husbands just like you get a new dog, but but anyway, the point of all this being that my work moved from one place to another in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I work at a homeless family shelter.
Oh.
And the choice was shrink or die.
Mm-hmm.
So we chose to shrink rather than die.
Mm-hmm.
And move to this really hard to get to location where you have to take a long bus ride first, and then you go transfer to Berea Rapid Transit, transfer to Underground Muni. Anyway, it involves two BART stations, and the way the trolleys work, you can't tell which side of the street you're on.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's kind of difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
And Guide Dog said, you know, not all blind people could do this work,
mm-hmm.
this route.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you mean none of them all have to? That's what you mean. He said, no, we listen to me. I mean, they can't do it. And I said, but I'm not a good traveler. And he said, maybe not, but you're tenacious and you get there, which is half the point. And I thought my dog developed stress diarrhea, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, wait a minute, is she going to retire? Is my everything going to fall apart? But anyway, it didn't happen. I learned the route, and guess what? She got better.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so, because we were at the point of scheduling class and all that kind of thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So it didn't happen.
And did guide dogs come out and work with you and, you know, help you on the route?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Power did, and Mark Gillard. From guide
They're
dogs.
So good at that, aren't they?
They're really good at that. And Jim Power used to be my neighbor.
Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of neighbors.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, I've had two dogs from Guide Dogs. Madeline was my first from Guide Dogs because I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I was just bowled over by the thoroughness and the personal caring that they showed to everyone, you know, but I mean, certainly as it relates to me, I mean, you know, I was really, really just amazed at the difference. So,
well, they've come a long way too. I mean, I've been doing this since 19 something or another, 69.
I got your beat by 5 years.
Oh.
I've been doing it since 64.
Then you probably are older than me, but probably my not much.
No, not much. Probably not. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I think my best neighbor story, when we moved into this house in 19-something or another, 90-something, four. This nice person, it was in the spring of the year, and there was an Easter basket on our porch.
Oh.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? And it was Lady Pamela from next door.
Oh.
And we got to know her really well over the years, and she moved to Portland in, I don't know, sometime or other, 03, 04, 07. And, oh, we used to go to breakfast together at this little real coffee shop, not the kind where you order the espresso and get the bad pastry.
Right.
The real kind where you order food.
Jan, I think I would really like you if I knew you in person.
You're well, maybe so, maybe no. You never know.
You never know. You never know.
But anyway, what was the point of all that?
Neighbors
and friends.
Yeah.
She was so, we've been in email contact ever since.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I'm going to go visit her over Easter.
Oh, that is
in
really
Portland.
Neat. That is so neat. That really is. Tell me a little bit about your work at the homeless shelter. What do you do?
Throw people out when they do bad. No. we help homeless families. We have 10 of them. My office mate has 5, and I have 5 families. And we help them find housing and jobs, get by, and to get out of homelessness.
Hmm.
And it is really hard.
What would you say is one of the most, how do I want to ask this question? What would one of the most misunderstood things be about homelessness from people who have never experienced it?
Well, I always think of homeless people as being like the boy and girl next door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of. I mean, you know, we're all just people, you know, and we're good and we're not good and we're in the middle and depends on the day you talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
We all have our quirks. Some of us are drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are not. Some of us have mental illness. Some of us have both of those things. Some
mm-hmm.
of us don't. Some of us are blind. Like, there's this client I had who just left because her time at the shelter ended, and I was going to go get coffee at this place for my office mate, who's all of 20-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
26, 25, I forget. And I was, you know those cardboard things you take to the coffee places?
Yeah,
those tray things.
Yeah.
So I had a huge stack of these tray things, which speaks to my addiction. Anyway, I was going around the corner, and she said, Ms. Brown, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean, I can't do what? You can't go, where are you going? I'm going to Ritual Coffee. Well, you can't do that. Well, I do this every day. Well, can't you get Ray to do it? It's not his turn. It's my turn. But you can't do that. You can't walk down the street with a dog. I do it every day. I have a 2-hour commute. But I said, you're welcome to come along. So we walked across one whole street and turned left and then turned right at the next corner and walked to Ritual. She said, but there was a car in front of in the sidewalk. I said, yeah, I know. We went around it, huh?
Huh. Wow.
But the most, I think, it's mental illness, it's addiction, it's
mm-hmm.
lack of social skills. I don't know.
A lot of times we see homeless people and they're asking for change and, you know, spare change. And my philosophy has always been, I don't want to give you money, but I'll go buy you some food. And I wonder what you think of that.
Fine. Because, you know, a lot of it may just go to alcohol or drugs.
Yeah, that's my thought. But then I thought, well, gosh, you know, am I stereotyping, you know? But
sort of, but sometimes stereotypes have a little validity.
Yeah.
Like all the ones about usins.
Yeah. Like we're all musicians, we all rock, and we all wear dark glasses.
I do not wear dark glasses, and I do not rock.
Me neither.
And I play music.
I do too.
What do you play?
Well, I used to play guitar. I haven't played that for quite a while. Play a little bit of keyboard. Mostly, I'm a vocalist.
I play mandolin.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
And I went, after my husband died, I discovered Cooking in the Dark and Blind Like Me and all those shows.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? Who is this person? Welcome to Cooking
in the Dark.
My God, what is this? So yeah. took myself to the gathering in October in Houston.
Good for you!
As an adventure. I don't know any of these guys.
Good for you!
It could be really weird, but it probably won't.
Wow, was it fun?
It was a hoot.
Good for you!
It was a blast and a half. I took my mandolin.
Wow.
Met a bunch of neat people.
Very cool.
And wrote a cool song called Strangers and Friends about it.
Very cool. Wow. Well, send me an MP3 of your song.
It's not copyrighted. It'll be up on SendSpace eventually, maybe.
Okay. Well, let me know when it's up on SendSpace.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Well, thanks for calling, and it was wonderful to meet you.
I just wanted to call up this show, so I did it. So
I'm
there it is.
Glad you did, my friend. I feel like I've made a new friend tonight.
Strangers and friends.
There you go, strangers and friends.
Okay, bye, Merlin.
Take care, Jan, and get over that cold.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wasn't that neat? 866-666-7926 is the number. If you have never called, now is your chance. The line is open, and I'd love to hear from you. If you've called before, I'd love to hear from you. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Where are we going to go from here? It's 21 minutes past the hour, and we do have an important... Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's Debbie Hazelton.
Hi, Debbie Hazelton. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Finished giving Larry a massage. His first ever.
Oh, my gosh.
His first ever. My goodness.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it.
I know it. I just finally got a table, so I introduced him. I christened him.
And did he like it?
Yes, he says he did.
Yeah, good.
Yes, he says he enjoyed it.
Good.
But I have a funny story that you were talking about guide dogs and something about them finding places to go to the bathroom. Somebody mentioned something about that earlier.
Uh-huh.
So I just had a unique spin on that. I went to work somewhere once. Actually, it was for our local paratransit company when I was in South Florida. I went to work for Broward County. And this woman came into my office, and she said, I have a great idea about how you can find a place for you and your dog to go to the bathroom at the same time.
Gosh.
And I said, what?
Alrighty,
I don't think
then.
I really want to do that. Yeah. And she said, oh, listen, this is a great idea. She says, you know, when you go into the bathroom, there's that middle stall and there's that hole in the floor.
Oh.
And I said, that's not for that purpose. She said, yes. She said, you and your dog could both go. I said, what if she has to go the other way? And they said, and she said, oh no, you wouldn't let her do that. And I said, no, I don't think so. She said, you mark my word, in 6 months you'll both be doing that. I said, no, I don't think so.
Was she like all there? I mean,
she was a much older lady, and I guess she really wasn't all there.
My temptation would have been to say, oh darn it, I can't squat down that low for that long.
That's good. She'd probably say, oh, don't worry about it. Just stand there and just, you know, oh, my God.
Well, in Japan, the traditional, I don't know, we're really having an open forum night here. The traditional Japanese toilet is like a trough, and you just kind of squat down, and whether you're a pink or blue person, you squat down and you do it, and then you put one foot on one side, one foot on the other, and squat down, do your thing, and then leave. You know,
I can just see if anybody had come in there and my dog and was doing that. I mean, people have often freaked out just coming into a public restroom and seeing paws. You know,
yeah.
But
that's funny.
Isn't that a great story?
Well, on some of the cruises we take, people think that we let the dog go in the shower.
Oh.
I'm like, I wouldn't take a shower in there.
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh. Aww. That's funny. That's so funny.
Well, I just really wanted to just call in and say how good it is to hear you and just send you lots of love.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know that your mainstream show is through, but I bet you'll be back in another iteration.
I think I will.
Yeah.
You know, I think I will, and I think some things need to be restructured, and I think that it's highly likely, and, you know, who knows, maybe maybe you'll do something with me, or who knows. But
well, you never know.
You know.
You never know.
As I say to everyone, we're always connected. So, you know, the
yep.
ending of one thing doesn't mean the ending of everything. It's just the end of that chapter.
That's right. And oftentimes you must end something in order to create a new beginning.
Yes, yep. That is very, very true.
Yep.
Very, very true.
Whether it's, you know, moving from a guide dog or moving from a show or... You know, if we don't create the opportunity for new beginnings in our lives would become stagnant. But the goal of life, I think, is to keep it like a stream. It's just constantly moving, constantly.
Yes, I agree. I've been thinking about that. Yeah, just keep it, letting it flow. We try not to worry.
Yeah, it's easy to say, don't worry.
Yep.
I think we all worry about things. But, you know, just it took me a lot of years to learn about not panicking over the worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
there's a difference between worrying about something, being concerned about something, and obsessing with it and panicking with it.
Absolutely. I agree. Oh, big difference.
You know, and
that is so harmful to our health.
It really is.
One of my mottos lately, I keep thinking about the Native American. I have some animal medicine cards and some sacred path cards, and I think one of my important mottos I got from them, I'm thinking a lot about this year, and the motto is, if it doesn't grow corn, let it go.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Easier said than done, but, you know.
Easier said than done. Yep.
But if it doesn't feel really good, if it doesn't work, if it's not really feeling like, yeah, this is, you know, really feeling like me, if it doesn't, you know, it's time to let it go.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Well, I know that the relationship connection was a really, I mean, it was a one of a kind show. And,
oh, that's for sure.
and it is difficult to do a show week after week after week after week. And
it is.
And while certainly, you know, listeners don't have to participate, as much as we love hearing the voices of the familiar folks, boy, when you hear a new voice, it's like,
a new person. That is very, very exciting when that happens.
It really is. It really
is. And it did happen from time to time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, really appreciate everyone who did call and who did participate. I think that I really, you know, apart from any of the listeners, I think I really had ideas of where I hoped I could get that show to go, and it's very hard to do it, I think, for a lot of reasons, you know, and I think, you know, maybe if there's a brainstorming and other people to work on it, you know, or maybe just a whole new format with a number of different things going on, you know, we'll see.
Well, I know you'll be back.
Yep. You betcha.
All right, my dear.
All right.
Well, you take care. Lots of love to you, too.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page. www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-666-666-7926.
So right you are, Mr. Steve Bauer, and we're just about a half an hour left in the program. We have another call. Let's bring this caller right in. Hi, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hello, Marlena. Talking Voices Familiar.
Hello, Miss Chrissy.
Hello, my dear.
What are you doing up at this hour?
Talking to you, of course.
My
especially.
Goodness gracious.
Hey, listen, talking of guide dogs, I'm sure they have, but has anyone written a book
on the amazing experiences and funny stories that people have had with guide dogs?
I believe there might be one, but I can't tell you for sure who wrote it.
Okay, well, it seems it's the sort of thing that should be written.
Indeed, indeed.
I love the stories. I must admit, the one about the stalls in the bathroom is absolutely wonderful.
Isn't that the best?
Isn't that just?
Oh,
the other way.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, when they... Yeah.
How's the little creature?
Oh, the little creature is fine.
Oh, she's I'm glad to hear.
Yeah, she's fine. She's in here with me somewhere, but since I have headphones on, I can't quite figure out where she is. But I don't know if you remember back in the early days of when I got her, you'd hear her squeaking that damn ball all the
time. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Now, I remember Dave called. He said, "What is that noise?" I said, "Oh, never mind. It's just the dog's ball." Well, fortunately, she murdered the ball, so we...
Oh, I love it. Murdered the ball.
Yes.
I'm so sorry to hear about Madeline, though.
Yes. That was such an unexpected thing for us. You know, an unexpected thing. So,
and as you say, it seems to be they tend to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed listening to your very vibrant show today on the Attitude Test.
Well, I thought I'd return the favor and come to your show, and thank you very much for coming to ours.
Oh, well, I've listened before, but not called in, you know,
and
I thought, well, today I'll call in since I have an opinion.
That's what it's all about.
That's indeed
what it's all about.
Yeah.
But, you know, like any show, it's an experiment.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, if it works, if it builds, all well and good. But, you know, if it doesn't, then hey.
There you go.
We think again.
There you go. Yeah. I want to make sure that, and I don't want to discuss it here, but you did receive my email today.
No, I didn't.
Oh, dear. That's bizarre.
Oh, let me put it this way. If it's come recently, I haven't.
No, I sent it before your show.
No, I didn't, my dear, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Well, these things happen the vagaries of...
Well, this was a pretty important one. Okay. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Okay.
Never mind.
Well...
These things happen.
Yes. So now I am thinking on my feet here. Okay. Not a worry. I'll figure something out. I thought, I don't think she's received my email. Okay.
I'll tell you what. The thing is, while I'm on Skype or anything like that, Outlook does funny things, so I can't even go and check back.
Yeah.
Because chances are the machine will say, no, you're not doing this. I'm rebooting. Sorry. But I'll tell you what. I'll put up Messenger if you want to. Possible. If not, don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, why don't you put up a Messenger and let me see if it's possible, and if not, I guess you'll find out.
I guess I will.
I guess you will. Not quite the way I wanted you to, but I guess you will. Okay. All right. Well, we'll figure something out.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, my dear.
You're welcome. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that you're sounding pretty well. I hope sort of health-wise things are okay.
Yeah, I'm coming down with something, but I haven't quite decided what it is yet. So,
We've had flu raging around here.
Yeah, so have we.
It was almost the sort of epidemic, they were saying.
Yeah.
Epidemic proportions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, it's definitely not good.
Okay, I'll let more callers get in.
All right, well, Chrissy Cochran, Managing Director of ACB Radio, yay. I'm glad that...
Chrissy Cochran, the person at the moment.
Oh, well, you're... Yeah, but you're still managing director of this crazy project. Yeah. I'm glad glad that you called, my dear, over there from jolly UK.
Yes, it's jolly old England.
By the way, did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, quiet as usual, actually.
Yeah.
We tend to have quiet Christmases.
Did you guys go to Paris?
No, we didn't. We decided it was too flipping cold. Paris is lovely in the summer, all the fall, or even the spring, when you can sit outside in the cafes.
That's when I want to go.
You know, unless you've got things absolutely planned, we're going to do this, that,
sure.
and the other, and you go from one place to another, then, hey, it could be a bit...
Yeah.
You know, we had such a wonderful time when we did go
a few
months ago that I thought, well, let's not spoil that.
Uh-huh.
By going back in the cold when we're all freezing, we're all bundled up, and oh, what are we going to do, or whatever, you know? So we decided against it. And are going to go a bit later, but we're going to go.
Well, I hope you do, and I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, I am absolutely sure we will. We had a wonderful time last time.
Yeah. All right.
Absolutely. Wonderful. All right, my dear.
All right. Well, I will send you a quick message, and then I will resend the email that you didn't get.
Okay.
All right.
Absolutely fine.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Take care. Bye bye. 866-666-7926. We've been all over the place tonight with topics. Paris, man, I want to go to Paris. One of my dreams in life is to sit on the Champs-Élysées and eat stinky cheese and drink good French red wine. It could be white wine. That'd be okay, too, because I love white wine. But that's what I want to do. And, of course, then I want to do the things like going to Notre Dame and, you know, all this, that, and the next thing. And certainly going to the place of Louis Braille's birth. Oh, my gosh. We haven't heard from anyone who attended celebration. If anyone out there listening has attended, would love to hear from you. You know, getting out of the blindness arena a little bit, what are your thoughts about what's happening in the Middle East? Do you have any thoughts about that? Clearly, at least on CNN, I'm seeing a lot of video from the Gaza perspective, from folks in the Gaza Strip. But not a lot of perspective from folks in Israel. And on today's Attitude Test, which, of course, Chrissy co-hosts with Nama, who lives in Israel with her husband, Jeff Shang. You all may know Jeff Shang's name and Nama's name. Nama spoke to us today about the numbers of rockets that have been crisscrossing Israel this week. And I think she said that there were some 20 rockets that had crisscrossed Israel, the entire country. And I'm like, man, how can people manage that? How do you live there? You know, kind of living in fear of your life. You know, so I totally have a lot of respect for folks who can do that. I know we are a talk show, or actually folks who can survive that. Let me put it that way. I know we are a talk show, but I've got a little music here queued up, and this is a song that starts out. And you, when you hear it, you would think, well, that's of interest to children. But stick with it. It's a song by David Roth, and it's called I Have Learned. Now, if you had to start a phrase with I have learned, what would you say? I have learned what? right here on Marlena. Here's David Roth.
Here are some things some people said. I didn't write these words. I just came along with notes and chords and put them all into verse. The question that someone posed to them, the answers that they returned. They were asked to complete a simple phrase beginning with I have learned. I have learned. I have learned that you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk.
I have learned that when I wave at people in the country, they stop what they're doing and they wave right back.
I have learned that just when I get my room the way I like it, Mom makes me clean it up.
I'm secretly glad my parents are strict with me. I have learned I don't learn much from TV. Brushing my child's hair.
I have learned that wherever I go, the world's worst drivers have followed me there.
I have learned that there are people who love you dearly. They just can't show it. That's not their tune. I have learned that if you're not living on the edge, you're probably taking up too much room.
I have learned that motel mattresses are better on the side away from the telephone.
I have learned not to cast the first stone.
I have learned, I have learned, I have learned,
I have learned that a vegetable garden is better than a cabinet full of pills.
I have learned that children and grandparents become natural allies and always will.
I have learned you shouldn't go through life with the catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back.
I have learned that I now love one of the things I hated most as a kid, taking a nap.
I have learned that no matter what your relationship with your parents, you miss them when they are gone.
I have learned the power of a song.
Passing judgment is to predispose.
I have learned if my life's not flowing, I may be standing on my own hose.
I have learned it's good to keep an open mind, long as you don't let your brain fall out. Keep it in.
I have learned that, like that sign in Las Vegas says, you must be present to win. to have some fun. I still have a lot to learn.
I have learned. You're not supposed to play that next song. What are you doing that for? Stop that. Oh, my goodness. I Have Learned by David Roth and Friends. What have you learned? I'm Marlena. Call me up and tell me. I've learned what? Yeah, you know, if you have a day where you don't learn something, I don't think that's a very good day. So I think that we learn something new every single day. At least, I hope we do. Hope we do. All right. We've got just about, another 14, 13 more minutes to go before we bring the program to a close. And I do have a very important announcement to make at the end of the program. And so we probably have time for one or two more calls, and then we will make that announcement. And speaking of calls, hi there, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Marlena, it's Dale.
Hey, Dale, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great, girl. Thought I'd kill a few minutes for you.
Oh, you're always there for me, Dale.
We try to be.
And you know, I'm going to be there for you, too. I just was not able to do that today.
Oh,
but,
no worries, man.
Yeah.
No worries. Yeah, we contacted Marlena today to come hang out with us on Cooking in the Dark, but we couldn't get her a flight out.
I know. Doggone it. Those mice really did not do a good job of getting me there.
No. And it was short notice, I know. And next thing, you look at the tickets and, oh, crap. Oh. I'll leave today. I hate it when that happens. But we had a good Marlowe, and we had a couple of this new, it's a new beer called Shiner Black.
Ooh, yum, yum.
So one thing I've learned is I kind of like it.
Oh, very cool. Is it a dark ale? Or?
Yeah, kind of a dark beer.
Oh, see,
yeah.
I don't like dark beer. I like light beer.
They have one called Shiner Bock.
Ah, I've had Shiner Bock. Yeah, I've had that.
It's a dark beer, but it's got a real light taste.
Huh.
But the Shiner Black kind of tastes like, it's a Mexican beer I like called Negro Medea.
Something
like that. It's kind of got that aftertaste.
But
nonetheless, we had a good day today, and we did a diabetic beef stroganoff that'll be coming up. It was absolutely delicious.
When are we going to hear that show?
That will be in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
Make up your mind.
Yeah, well, it's all running together, man. I'm not used to recording so many shows ahead of time.
I got you covered.
Next week we've got Shepherd's Pie coming at everybody.
Mm-mm-mm.
Very delicious. And then the week after that is, are you ready for some football?
Celebrate
the Super Bowl.
So give us a sneak hint on the Super Bowl show. What are we going to learn to make?
The Super Bowl show, we're going to learn to make a delicious jalapeno dip from a restaurant here in Houston, Chewy's.
Oh,
we're also going
man.
To do sausage balls.
Oh, man.
And then we also do kind of a generic cheese. I guess you can call it like it can be a dip, or it can be used as a spread to like put in jalapenos or in celery.
It's
kind of a hodgepodge show, just kind of something that, you know, Super Bowl, we try to do some stuff where, what are you going to take, you know?
You want to know how stupid I am? I noticed you were very diplomatic. You didn't answer that question.
Well, I was just laying low.
Lay low while the artillery's going overhead, man.
No, man, I live with a blonde.
I spent, one Thanksgiving, I cannot tell you how many hours, stuffing black olives with jalapeno peppers, and then somebody told me, you know, you can buy those in a jar.
Oh,
righty then.
But, you know, I mean, that's something that, yes and no. I mean, but that's something as a blind person, you don't know. Store, if it wasn't for the lady that helps me shop, telling me about new stuff that's
out,
I'd never know about it.
Yeah, I'm always saying, well, what do you see? What do you see? What's there? What do you see?
Yeah. I mean, you should have seen my shock one time. I wanted Oreo. I need a bag of Oreo cookies. Well, what kind? Well,
yeah.
Oreo,
what do you mean,
cookies,
what kind?
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, do you want chocolate chip? Do you want mint? Do you want double stuff? Do you want chocolate?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
yeah.
Holy God, stop,
and the
man.
List
my
goes
brain
on.
Is
yeah.
overloaded,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you guys have Trader Joe's out there?
No, we don't.
Oh, man. Trader Joe's has remarkably wonderful things. By the way, before I forget saying the name Joe's, I want to say a special hello to my brother, Joda, who is listening, and he's hung out for the whole show. I can't, that's
right,
real dedication for you.
All right.
Anyway, Trader Joe's has wonderful stuff. Oh, my gosh. And
now, they have a lot of food stuff, right?
Yeah, they're a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
They're a grocery store like none other. I mean, you know.
That is cool.
And
now,
they're
down
not
here. We've got HEB, which it's Harry Butt. It started in Corpus Christi, but they're pretty much Texas wide, and they have stores called Central Market stores. And kind of the same deal. I mean, you can get practically anything in these stores.
Oh, this.
You know? I mean, they've got all types of imported foods, and they've got all types of. Just, I mean, the store near us has got a wine department that's just out of this world.
Hey, my grocery store has a wine cellar.
Oh, cool.
You go into this, like, they have to unlock it. It's not really a cellar, but it's thermostatic, you know.
Right?
You know.
That is cool.
And you go into this big room, and there you are, you and the wine, and you're in a temperature-controlled environment, like, whoa, well.
Man, now, you know, if you could sneak in your corkscrew.
I know. Wouldn't
it be? I'll be out in a while.
Yeah, I'll be out in just a bit.
Check out next time you're there. See if they have a, it's Three Blind Moose.
Three Blind Moose?
Yeah, I think it's an East Coast wine. Also, Yellowtail.
Oh, sure. I've heard of Yellowtail.
Yellowtail's, well, I enjoy that. I like reds.
Yeah.
I don't like some of the European reds because it tastes like dirt. You know, it's got the real earthy aftertaste. And I was like, one time I tasted one and I was like, you know, golly.
Well, that's just the wine, you know.
Seeds on my tongue.
That's like the cave, man, you know. It's like, you know, you're down there in the cave drinking the wine.
Yeah, and then, you know, with the California wines and some of the American wines, they're more of a fruity base. You know, they're not the earthy base, which are really good and stuff. But, yeah, you got to have a good glass of wine. Anyway, girl, I was just sitting here trying to get ready for Blind Mice tomorrow, and here we go again, you know. Looks like we're going to have like about $2,000 for scholarships this year.
Wow.
And then we're also going to try to give the DS-50, Olympus DS-50s to the kids, too.
Oh, wow, that's
so that'll
neat.
Work out well. And, you know, last year was the first year, bless their hearts, that I've gotten thank you notes from the kids.
Oh.
And that just, man, that just fires you up and gets you ready to rock and roll again.
And every purchase made at blindmicemart.com, a percentage of every purchase goes to the scholarship fund.
Pretty much, I would say probably a majority of it.
Yeah.
And the rest of it goes for that little show called Cooking in the Dark.
Cooking in the Dark,
yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right, sweetheart. Well, listen, we will get connected. We'll be recording next. And
sounds good to me, my dear.
The next one we're going to do, we'll be recording the Valentine's. We got the Valentine's special for all the guys to cook for their sweetheart.
Ooh, I'm going to make sure Gary listens to that.
Yeah.
Got to make sure Gary listens to that. Although, you know what? Gary does a lot of cooking around here. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys that do.
Yeah. My brother cooks, too. My brother is the cook in his house. So.
Go, Joe.
There you go.
Right
there
on.
There you go.
Right on. That's the way to do it, man. And, you know, I was watching an episode of Married with Children the other day, and old Bundy was grilling, you know, and that's the only time he cooks is when he grills.
Yep.
But I was like, man, there's a lot of guys that do that too, you know. Men cook with fire outside, women cook inside. I'm like,
there you go. There you go.
It's all good.
All right, my dear. Well, I'll speak to you soon.
You have a great evening.
Thank you. Bye bye. Well, that's going to do it for this week's program. Now, I've been talking with you all night about an announcement that a very important announcement that I'm going to make. Before I make that announcement, I want to thank everyone who called in this week, and a particular thanks to Jan Brown, our new friend to the Marlena program, and certainly to all of you who have been faithful listeners and have called. The announcement that I'm going to make is that this is the last Marlena program, at least for the foreseeable future. It was a very difficult decision for me to make, and in some ways a very painful decision, because you've all become very important to me, and who you are and what you do and the things you care about have always been important to me for the 5 years that I've been doing the program. But it's going to be necessary for me to be out of town a fair amount over the next number of weeks, and since I don't have someone who can fill in, and I don't have someone who can step up to the plate and do the show, I just didn't think that it was right to have constant repeats. And in fact, that was one of the concerns expressed on the friends list about live shows having repeats. And I hear that and I appreciate that. So it's been a great ride. You've all been wonderful. We started this effort in March of 2004 after doing several years of Blind Spot, which first started out being pre-recorded and then live. And I want to leave you with this song because it's about friends who were there when you needed them. I'm Marlena. Thank you so much for having allowed me into your lives for these number of years. God bless.
You sat in the morning light holding a guitar as the first summer rain began to fall. Like the gentle raindrops, your words fell in the air, making things so clear as we quietly sat there. It reminded me of other times you had come before, brought a song or just walked in through the kitchen door. Now it seems the truest words I ever heard from you were said at kitchen tables we have known, coffee on the stove. Our hearts were really most at home. Sitting at a table, getting hard at you, catching up on the stories of the things we tried to do. And it seems we really said the most when we didn't talk at all. Let the song speak for us like the sunlight on the wall. Come and go in sunshine and in rain. Some years are seen more clearly than the rest. And if it weren't for kitchen songs and mornings spent with friends, we all might lose the things we love the best. I can see you sitting there beneath the trumpet vine, sunlight through the window, in the kitchen, in my mind. You came when you were needed. I could not ask for more than to turn and find you walking through the kitchen door. You came when you were needed. I could not ask for more and to turn and find you walking through the kitchen door.